from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Interesting little note from Brooke Pryor of ESPN 12 minutes ago tweeted out some video of the Steelers' individual workout period today. And she said, and I quote, individual period today featured Justin Fields throwing the ball and Russell Wilson, who was limited with calf tightness yesterday, watching on. So there's just one guy warming up here. I don't know that that bodes well for practice. So we will get back to that and certainly keep tabs on that. I don't think the injury report comes out until around 4, but there's going to be little clues eking out of that practice today, which is, it should be over right now, right? Keep your eye on that, Boris, will you?
All right, Todd, I will.
See if anybody is tweeting out of that practice little clues like Cabali and Fittipaldo and Brooke. Meantime, the Pirates continue to make headlines in spite of their struggles here. As the season, well, the season has pretty much slipped away, but there's still a lot of interesting individual stories here to talk about that. Every Friday, Mr. Bob Walk, brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. And by Gutter Helmet, make clogged gutters a thing of the past with Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET. Bob, how are you today?
Good, Joe. How's things going with you?
Things are going well. Getting ready for football season to heat up. I really want to have meaningful baseball back in September. There's nothing like it. Hanging on every pitch, hanging on every lineup decision. I hope the Pirates get there next year. But in the meantime, Bob, there's been a bunch of stories swirling. And one of them has to do with effort. And Derek Shelton has really hung his hat, even when things go bad, that we're a team that plays hard. We give effort. John Wehner has been on this station as recently as 3 weeks ago or so, saying he's not so sure about that, and certainly not 100% of the time does this team give what he thinks is maximum effort. What's your take?
There's a couple of guys that are on the team. I'm not going to – I don't feel comfortable naming names that, you know, you watch them and then they don't – you know, go hard all the time. But, you know, there's, I think, the majority of guys that do play hard all the time. That's the way I look at it. And, you know, it's been like that every team I've ever seen. Just a couple of guys on every team that are joggers and everybody else is sprinters. And, I think we have more sprinters than we have joggers, but I'm not going to argue with Rock, because I see it every night. I see some guys that'll ground out and don't even make it to first base. You know, they'll peel off before they even get there. But I also see guys that, you know, hit a routine fly ball to center field and they're within steps of second by the time the ball is caught. You know, I see that on the same team. So When I see guys that are really busting their butts out there, I try to point that out, make a big deal out of it, and maybe the other stuff someday will go away. But and all these years I've been watching baseball, I'm very seldom do you see teams that were, you got a bunch of guys that are always going hard out there. I've never seen it, and it's no different with this team.
I think some people would like to see Derek Shelton every once in a while, or even once, drop the hammer on a player publicly. And I'm wondering, from your career, how that played out. What was Jim Leland's mode of operation there, Bob? Would he pick his spots? How does that play in a clubhouse? Things like that, especially when it's public, like benching a guy during a game. We saw that with the Yankees. Maybe 3 weeks ago, where one of their prominent players, I forget the name, was benched for watching a ball out of the box and essentially turning a double into a single.
No, I don't ever remember Leland doing anything like that. Everything was handled, privately, and he would definitely call guys out in front of the team, but it wouldn't be in front of media. Mm. The only time I think that ever happened was kind of accidental, because it was during spring training over at Pirate City out there for a workout. I mean, everybody, it's a famous conversation he had with Bonds in front of
right.
Happened to be TV cameras rolling. Well, if that wasn't just one of those days where there happened to be TV cameras out there, nobody would have ever known about that. But yeah, he would get into your face in a second if he thought that was necessary. But he always would do it behind, closed doors. I mean, he would scream at us and yell at us and have some meetings, not all the time, it wasn't often, but if we weren't playing up to his what he thought was his standards, maybe guys were going a little too easy out there at times. Yeah, he would pick guys out and right in front of everybody after the game, and then he would he would yell at Hooley. He'd say, go ahead, let the media in so I can tell more lies and cover for these guys. Because that's what managers do.
Yeah.
They cover for their players and publicly for the media. They don't rip players to the media. Now, I've seen managers do that, but I think that's very rare. I don't think many managers, many successful managers, publicly in the paper will ever rip their players, and I just don't think that with good managers happens, that they sure as heck better be doing it in private.
Meanwhile, one of the big stories, and maybe the biggest of this season, is Paul Skeens, and now we're heading down the stretch, and he's sitting here at 9-2, let's see, 142 strikeouts in 114 innings. So you've seen a lot of baseball, Bob. Where would you put him? I don't know. You probably don't have an exact spot, but maybe the question is he one of the finest young pitchers you've ever seen? And where does it go from here?
Absolutely. He's one of the finest young pitchers I've ever seen. Some of the younger guys that I watched in my era would have, more strikeouts and it's more thing, but they were allowed to pitch more innings back in that time. And the only thing that's held him back and his totals back or the fact that he didn't get 30 some starts this year and was allowed to pitch 100, 115 pitches every time he would go out there, as long as the hitters would cooperate. Looking at the way that pitchers are allowed to pitch, especially young guys nowadays, he's the he could be the finest that I've ever seen. I mean, I would have to say the best that I ever laid eyes on at a very young age that was just incredibly dominant was Doc Gooden. And I think if he had allowed to throw as many innings as Good did, especially if he was on a team like Gooden was on, that then he would easily match Gooden's rookie numbers.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. your pitching eye. I'm wondering what it tells you with David Bednar, Bob, because everybody loves Bednar. We know that, and things happen in pro sports, but it's undeniable that his struggles really, really hurt them this year. 7 losses, 6 blown saves, and a 6 ERA. What happened?
Well, it's not a stuff problem as far as like velocity or anything like that. So I think we've had this conversation before that it makes me believe that it's not really physical either. But what it is command. His fastball doesn't get the same swings and misses that it used to. But I think it's got to be he's locating it differently. Maybe pitching in a little different counts than he used to pitch in. And, you know, the hitters also have, over the last 2 years, there's a lot of film and there's a lot of personal experience with some of these guys who have faced him before. And you know, maybe it's a case that he has to evolve a little bit and do some things differently, because a lot of these guys have now, you know, gotten, you know, a couple of dozen, 20, 24 at-bats against them over – you know, the last few years, and it's time for him to maybe make some adjustments. But I think a big part of that is if he figures out why his control was not as good this year as it was in the past. And, you know, I don't know if it's something as simple as not having a spring training, or if it's much more complicated than that. I don't know, but that's what he needs to get figured out before next year. I still have a lot of faith in him. You know, you could have even just left him in that spot. As far as I was concerned, I'm thinking he's going to get it figured out, because he's still the same guy, stuff guy. He still throws in the upper 90s with his fastball. He's got a good curveball that, in the previous years, he's been able to seem to just throw for a strike anytime he wants, and not just right down the middle strike, but he would be able to drop it and. Either the back door, little quadrant to lefties, or keep it away from righties, but throw it for a strike, even though he's aiming for a spot. You know, it's one of those one of the squares inside that strike zone, and he could hit that with his curveball. Now it doesn't seem to happen. And the same thing with his splitter. It's not consistent with the command of that pitch. And the thing that really concerns me and makes me think is it's something to do with maybe mechanics or something. And I think this will like jog your memory of just kind of watching him this year, is he would get into these games where he would like duck hook fastballs, a foot outside and maybe shoot top high. Mm. That's not him. He would never throw fastballs out there in the last couple of years, but he's done that dozens of times this year. And when I see that happen, I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? That to me was the biggest red flag early in the year that he was not right, was the fact that he would miss with his fastball by that much. I know he's not trying to, you know, throw it anywhere close to being way outside like that to a right-hand hitter. And he's trying to go up and in. He's trying to get chases at the top of the strike zone. Swings and misses up there, easy pop-ups.
Yeah.
And so when he's throwing that fastball like that, there's something wrong. That's not him. And I want to quit seeing that stuff from him.
Well, hopefully he'll get back on track next year. You and I will get back on track next week, Bob. We appreciate the time.
All right. Go Steelers. Looking forward to the first week. It'll be fun.
Me too. Let's see who plays quarterback. That's where we're headed next year. Thank you for the time, Bob.
Yeah, I think you're going to have that answer, I think, this afternoon probably.
Yeah, I think by 4 o'clock. I think we're looking at that. Take care, man.
All right. Go tight. Talk to you next week.
That's the great Bob Walk. I mentioned the fan text line, fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right. So Ian Rapoport would not be surprised if the Steelers got Russell Wilson off his feet this week and potentially beyond that. And then we have Brooke Pryor, a little video from individual workouts today, where she says during these individual workouts, Justin Fields was throwing and Wilson was watching. I mean, is this almost becoming too obvious that Fields will play? Are we reading too much into this? What's happening here, Limits? It seems to me that we're headed toward Justin Fields.
From everything that I can gather and seeing updates from camp and or from practice, and there hasn't been really any video from teamwork or any reports, I think that's something that they need to ask the players about and ask Tomlin about to further confirm. It's starting to look like Justin Fields is going to be the guy this week and start in Atlanta, yes.
What have you seen from the likes of the Cabalis of the world here? Are we getting little clues from anybody?
Really, the only thing is that there's been some standing around from Russell Wilson. He's participating in some individual drills. Cabali tweeted out a video of Wilson doing some light stretching with his calves. He said that the availability will be known soon in terms of what he's going to be doing, just kind of doing some side shuffles. But not too much in terms of team activity.
Yeah.
Which is the main thing that we're monitoring for right now.
Well, I mentioned earlier in the show what Nick Kostos mentioned at noon, which is, I think, what we all agree on, most of us anyway, is that the dependability factor is probably more there with Russ than it is with Fields. You feel like you have an idea of what you're going to get from Russell Wilson. I know he's had his struggles in Denver, especially 2 years ago. But with Fields, you have a higher ceiling. You may have a lower floor, but you have a higher ceiling. Do we all agree on that as well? Is that obvious? I think so.
I think so. And doesn't this feel like a team that needs a higher ceiling?
Yeah, but I worry about the lower floor. And I worry in a game like this, even keeled is maybe what you need. I mentioned it earlier, but it's just true so far. And it might not be him. It might have been the organization he was with, except we saw more of it in the preseason. And that is that Justin Fields is boom or bust. There was back-to-back games last year where he threw 8 touchdowns worth and 600 yards in passing. Who was it against? Denver and Washington, I think, back-to-back. Now I can't remember. And then you just go look at the game logs from his career. There are some games where he's running for 160 yards and throwing for 3 touchdowns, and other games where he's 18 for 40. It's just like, what is happening here? Is this just the vagaries? Is that a word? Is vagaries mean inconsistencies? Limits? I think so. Is it the vagaries of a young player, especially one in a crap organization, or is this just the way of it with Justin Fields? Even from play to play, even in the preseason, the little Bears action that I saw during his career, it would be like there's just nothing's ever really in rhythm or on time here with this offense. It doesn't look like he's running an offense. It looks like we're waiting for the next explosion, good or bad.
It kind of feels like a little backyard football, trying to run around and make something happen.
Yes. Having said that, I'm all for this. I'd be wildly entertained by it.
I want to see it.
One way or the other.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Breaking news here. Give us the numbers. According to Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, and others, Pat Freiermuth has a new contract that might open your eyes just a little bit. Yes?
4 years, $48.4 million for the Steelers tight end.
Wow! Is what I say to that. I'm sorry. I like Pat Freiermuth. I do. But that's crazy. It's not crazy in terms of average salary. It's right in the middle. It's $12.1 million a year. I'm looking at over the cap right now here. And that would put him something like 12th. I don't know, something in there. It's not with the elite guys, obviously. It's not with Kelce, Hockenson, Kittle. Dallas Goedert makes 14. Mark Andrews, 14, although he might be their second best tight end right now. Evan Ingram, 13.7. Njoku, 13.6. And then right before you get to Dalton Schultz at 12, you're going to have Freiermuth at 12.1. But they're laying out, and obviously there will be stipulations here. They might be able to get out of the deal. I realize, but as of now, he's still a young guy. You're pretty much laying out $50 million for Pat Freiermuth. Come on, what are you doing, Omar? Seriously, what are we doing here? He had 32 catches last year. I know you blame the offense, you blame Canada, you blame the quarterback. He has 4 touchdowns the last 2 years combined. He's a below-average blocker for a team that wants to play smash-mouth football from the 1970s. What are we doing? That's my thought on it. And as I said, unfortunately, I hope he never has another one. He has 3 documented concussions already in his NFL career. He missed 4 games last season with an injury. This is not what I would have done. I can tell you that. I wonder how Najee Harris feels about this, looking at this. Same draft class. Najee's been a more productive player, and they decided to show Freiermuth the money.
Mueller put out a number. He is 9th in average annual value of tight ends at $12.1 million, just ahead of Dalton Schultz of the Cowboys, just behind Cole Kmet in Chicago.
I have that as a little lower here, according to what I'm looking at, but that's fine. 9th, 12th, what difference does it make? It'll soon, you know, by year 2, it'll be much lower than that. It's too much money. Sorry, it is, to lay out nearly $50 million when I think I can get replacement level production for Freiermuth by a guy that by a lot of people, somebody else I draft. And here's the kicker. The franchise tag for a tight end in 2025, this is projected by Over the Cap, is $13.7 million. That's not that much different than what he's making right now.
No.
This, for me, this would have been a prove-it year for Freiermuth. You want to show me that you're George Kittle? You suddenly turn into Travis Kelce? We'll franchise you. They still had the hammer. For this, we'll give you 13.7 next year. You're on the tag. Or we can try to hammer out a long-term deal then. But this is a prove-it year for him.
All right, let me ask you this.
This is not a pay him $50 million before the year for him.
We talked about Dalton Schultz and Cole Kmet. Do you think he's better than Cole Kmet?
I don't know. I'd have to look closer at Cole Kmet.
Or Dalton Schultz. You think he's better than Dalton Schultz?
He's in the same neighborhood as Dalton Schultz. Right?
I think part of the thing that you don't like about him that detracts you away from this contract, and I would have preferred 10, 8, 9, 12 is a little steep, but I'm glad they got the deal done, is that he doesn't block as well as a lot of other tight ends do.
Well, he also hasn't produced in the pass game. You're laying that all at Canada and the offensive coordinators.
How many people did produce in the pass game in this offense the last 2 years?
I mean, George Pickens led the league or was second in yards per catch. How many catches did he have? But I understand what you're saying, but you're laying it all at the feet of the quarterback and coordinator.
Freiermuth has to be better in some regards, too. There's no denying that. I think he's been fine. This is also, if you're 8th, 9th, at some point it'll be 10th in terms of pricing for a tight end. It's the going rate in the rapidly evolving NFL where prices are getting astronomically high for players. I would have preferred it be a little bit lower, but I think Freiermuth is a more valuable part to this team moving forward than we're all expecting him to be, at least what he has been in the past.
That's fine. Then
it's more of a projection.
Have a big year, and I can tag you, or we can talk after the season. And if they lose you, I bet I could replace it with another guy who can catch and give me below average blocking for a running team. That's the way I feel. And that's not saying I don't like him. I think he could have a good year in Arthur Smith's offense. Now, Dalton Schultz, you talked about him. He's given Dallas and Houston last 3 years 78 catches, 57, 59. He has 10 touchdowns the last 2 years, 18 in the last three. He always averages double figures in yards per catch. So he has better numbers than Freiermuth. I don't know how he is as a blocker off the top of my head. I just think this is an average tight end that you just laid out $50 million for. I don't like it. Going rate annually or not, that's my thought.
Yeah, I just think the tight end, because, okay, let's think about it this way. Arthur Smith's offense is significantly focused around tight ends, and Kyle Pitts was supposed to be a big part of that last year in Atlanta. He wasn't very good. So I can play devil's advocate in that regard, too. Why was Kyle Pitts not very effective in the Arthur Smith offense? Maybe because he had Desmond Ridder throwing him the football. Could the same be true for Fields and for Russell Wilson? I think you're talking about, and the goal was obviously to get a number two wide receiver next to George Pickens. And I don't think anything has changed in that regard. But Freiermuth as their number one tight end option, and really he's their number two passing option this year, he's going to end up getting all these targets that would have went to a Brandon Ayuk, a Cortland Sutton, or whatever.
We shall see.
Which is why I think the production is going to be there in that regard. But
you might be right.
To your point, I understand the caution in the wind of throwing $12 million to him because...
No, you threw 48, really.
Well, yeah, 12 a year, though.
Yeah, 12 a year, you know, is I get it. It's pretty much the cost of doing business. Let's see if he can stay healthy and have a great year. The key phrase in that sentence is, let's see. This is an advance payment I wouldn't have made.
Because when he was with Ben in his rookie year, I thought he looked pretty good with a quarterback was aging about done.
For sure. He's shown flashes of being really good.
Compared to Mitch Trubisky and a quarterback that was shipped off to Philadelphia for a fifth-round pick that became Peyton Wilson.
It's a significantly different
situation now.
I didn't see the need for this. I get the Hayward one because you have no commitment after this year. Omar laid out, I thought, a bad contract on Larry Ogunjobi, who was underachieved on that money. His free agent signings last year, a couple good, and then also Patrick Peterson didn't work out.
All right, Allen
Robinson didn't work out, etc.
We have a Russell Wilson update.
Okay.
A couple of quotes from Cabali.
It sounds like Fields is going to play.
Wilson said he hopes to play against Atlanta, saying, quote, if I'm ready to go, I will go. This is what Russell Wilson told the media moments ago.
We had a really good practice. I think the most important thing was from the treatment of getting ready to see what I can do each day and take it day by day.
Arthur talked.
Well, Cabali's video, I guess, wasn't as great as I expected
it to
be. But
that's okay.
He basically said they're going to take it day by day and see how it feels.
I would say from all the little tea leaves here, it sounds like Justin Fields to me.
That's what I'm thinking as well. If I'm good to go, I'll go. That doesn't put any confidence on this for me.
Man, that's going to be a fascinating situation, and it's going to be boom or bust. I'm picking the Steelers to win this game for all the reasons I mentioned. Wilson, Fields, whoever on offense, pick it. I don't care. The defense is going to destroy Kirk Cousins. Put that in your little time vault, and we can all laugh at me on Monday. I think the final score will be something like 19-13. I'm going to say 19-13 Steelers. Kirk Cousins hasn't thrown a pass in a real game since like Halloween or a fake game for that matter. He didn't play in the preseason. It's very unrealistic that against an extremely fast and destructive defense that this guy, as our friend Nick Costos said today, is going to roll out of bed after 10 months. And shred the Steelers or even play well? I'm not buying it. I think the Steelers' defense wins the game with minimal contributions from the offense. 19-13 limits. We have to go. What say you?
Quickly, I said 28-24 at the start of the week. I don't think it's going to be much more of that game anymore. I think it's more 24-21. I'm going to say 21. I'm going to say 24-21 is the final score. Steelers win it.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep. Very
Thank
kindly.
You, Mr. Hester.
Tim Hester. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 86 today with sunny skies. Man, we're going to have a lot to talk about on Monday. The PM guys have everything on a platter. They're walking in here to a banquet of Pat Freiermuth and Justin Fields. This is incredible. These guys have a smorgasbord. Mulsey's got enough craft beer to fill him up for the next 10 years here.
You're wrong, and I disagree with you.
Thank you, Mulsey.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, city limits. You be careful out there. You be home by 11 when you're out with Donnie Football.
Pirates Nationals tonight. Luis Ortiz starts 5:45. The leadoff show begins. More at 93.7thefan.com. Headlines powered by Bowser Genesis Monroeville.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.